This morning we have a joy and a privilege of hearing from a man who is a faithful preacher of God's Word. He's also a friend of mine. But most importantly, you've probably heard over the years, different times, Darren and various other ones from our congregation. We recently had a team go down to Cuba that had been involved in an outreach into Cuba. And that outreach into Cuba that we're involved in, I mean, certainly would not be happening apart from God, but the human agent through whom that's become possible in our context is Alpino. And we are grateful to God for all that is happening in that context. Al is a lead pastor at a church in Miami Lakes, Florida, Miami area. And I've known Al, I was just thinking about this, I believe it was 1996 when we first sat and met and spent some time together. And have known each other ever since. He loves God, is faithful to the gospel, and I know you'll be benefited and blessed. I asked Al what message he had in mind, and he said, well, he had a message from Luke chapter 6. And I thought, well, we're in Luke, and as we talked about it, I think it's helpful to go back and, you know, as I've been going through Luke, I'm kind of taking broader strokes, bigger pictures. And so he's going to zero in a section that's going to allow us to just dive deeply into some truths that are transformative. And if you recall, that text in Luke is that huge text that Jesus really begins to apply what it means to live in the year of Jubilee. What does it mean to walk out forgiveness? What does it mean to obey the gospel and follow him? And so he's going to bring that to us. So if you would, welcome our friend Alpino.
It's a great privilege. Thank you. Well, if you'll please turn to Luke chapter 6, and beginning in verse 27. And the title of this message is, Mercy, the Scent of Love. Mercy, the Scent of Love. And as Jerry alluded to, this text here comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, or as Matthew calls it, the Sermon on the Mount. So either it's the exact same sermon that both men are commenting on, or perhaps similar material that Jesus preached at a different time. But this is about what it means to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so this one is about mercy. And mercy should be the aroma of our life. Hence the title of the message, Mercy, the Scent of Love. God is love. We are to love God and love one another. So as we begin the message, here's the question. What aroma does your life have? What scent do you give off? And before we get to the text, I would just say this. You know, some people have a heightened sense of smell, and I happen to be one of those people. And it can be a tremendous blessing at times, and it can be a tremendous curse at times. It's not good when I'm the first one to smell something bad in the refrigerator and I go crazy until I can find it. When our kids were growing up, we have four. I was always the one to say, hey, it's time to change their diapers, if you know what I mean. The blessing is that I love good smells. They create great memories. My sense of smell is part of my living and my memories. And so when I come home and my wife, who's Italian, is making some homemade lasagna with her homemade sauce that her Sicilian grandmother taught her. When I'm walking up to the door and I smell that, oh yeah, my mouth starts watering. Or the smell of Cuban coffee at Casavana, which is a restaurant right near our church. When I go there every Sunday morning and buy café con leche or coladas for our sound and worship team. Great memories, great smells, great scents. What scent does our life give off? What does our life bring to mind to others? Does it speak of the kingdom of God, or does it speak of the kingdom of man, the kingdom of self? What scent does your life give off? And that scent is going to inform our family members, our friends, those who might not know the Lord. And by the way, if you're here and you're a guest and you would not know the Lord, you're here just kind of looking around, you wouldn't identify yourself as a Christian. This sermon is about what a Christian's life looks like. Someone who's been born again by the grace of God into the kingdom of God through faith in Christ alone. And so hopefully you'll smell this aroma in this room and in your interactions today with folks of Gulf Coast. But Is the scent of our life one of mercy, love, kindness, patience? When that person doesn't treat us as considerately as we would like, or that person isn't as kind to us as we would like, when they forget to do something we ask them to do, what scent does our life give off? When someone defies us or disagrees with our opinions, moms with little ones, what scent does our life give off? When someone doesn't seem to appreciate how we serve them and selfishly puts more demands, I want more, I want more, I want more. Or when the thanks don't come, but rather indifference, or even worse, veiled criticism or not so veiled criticism, slander, they speak evil of your good to others. How do we respond? Is there mercy for sin? Is there patience and kindness for weakness? So let's turn to our text. Find out about mercy, the scent of love. Luke 6, beginning in verse 27. Jesus preaching to the multitudes, Sermon on the Plain. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners. Now remember, he's preaching to Jews. So you had Jews and sinners. That's how the world was broken down in their minds. You're either a Jew or a Gentile, and a Gentile is a sinner, one who's not under the covenant of God. And even if you do good, see, even sinners love those who love them, verse 33. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. And here we go. Here are the key. These two verses interpret everything that has preceded. Verse 35. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Lord, help us. Help me to preach this message, Lord, with your anointing. Lord, may grace be highlighted here. May your mercy be highlighted here. What you've done for us, and then the fruit it produces in us. Lives that give off the aroma of mercy, the scent of love. Oh, Father, help us to be kind and patient, like you. Because we're your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen. In our text, Christ commands us to love our enemies. He uses the most extreme example, love for one's enemies, so that then it would apply to everybody. Friends, family, your spouse, your children, even at times when they feel like your enemy in a certain situation. And the scent of love in this passage, what love smells like here, is defined in verse 36. Look at it again. Verse 36. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Mercy is the scent of love. God had mercy on us in Christ. And then we're to have mercy on others in Christ. That should be the aroma of our lives. This is what it smells like. Being merciful to one another as your heavenly Father is merciful to you. In fact, if you want a main point, if you want God's burden in this text, it probably could be summarized in these words. Be merciful toward one another as your heavenly Father is merciful toward you. Be merciful to one another as your heavenly Father is merciful toward you. Mercy is the scent of love. It flows from hearts that have received mercy. Has your heart received mercy? Then our lives should be characterized by compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Mercy describes how God treated us and therefore how we should treat one another. So let's begin with the indicative, what God did for us, before we get into the imperative, what he is asking us, actually commanding us to do to one another. So if you're taking notes, point one, God is merciful toward us. God is merciful toward us. This verse interprets everything that goes before it. Look again at Luke 6:36. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. God revealed his mercy toward us on the cross, because it is there at the cross that Jesus received what we deserved, which was God's wrath because of our sin. And it's there that we receive what we do not deserve, the favor of God that Jesus earned by his perfect life. What an exchange. It's at the cross that God expressed his mercy toward us. Do you know the cross? Do you know the resurrection of Christ, the forgiveness of your sins? This is where God's mercy is revealed toward us. Aren't you glad that he was merciful toward us? Aren't you glad we did not receive what we deserve? Well, if you are, and I know you are, and if you're not, you do not know that mercy, I pray God would reveal it to you today. But then that mercy propels us. Look at verse 36 again. Be merciful. Be merciful. Just as your Father is merciful. Point two. Be merciful toward one another. The cross is the supreme illustration of God's mercy. It makes God's mercy real, doesn't it? Because see, at the cross, we see the cost of God's mercy. Without the cross, God's mercy, really, we wouldn't see its value. Jesus was crucified. He willingly went to the cross that God might display his mercy upon us. I was thinking of the song we sang, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. And on Friday morning, I was able to have an evangelistic breakfast with a man who's come to our church, former professional soccer player, and just wrestling with God, a functional atheist. He said, tell me this, the Bible's filled with contradictions. How can the Bible say that one cannot see God's face and live, and yet all through the Bible you see God appearing to people? And I took him back to that wonderful passage in Exodus 34, and where God, Moses says, I want to see your face. And God says, you can't see my face and live. He was referring to that. But what did he do? He took Moses, and he put him in the cleft of the rock, put his hand over him, and he went by him, and Moses got to see God's back. Folks, Jesus is that rock. Right there, Exodus 34. And this is where God places us. And so as we receive that mercy, that mercy is meant to be shared. Be merciful. That mercy isn't meant to be hoarded, but we're meant to be generous with it, not stingy. In fact, expressing that mercy, I think, reveals in many ways our grasp of the gospel, or maybe the better way of saying its grasp on us. How we relate to others in their weakness, in their sin. It's not always sin. Sometimes it could just be weakness. Reveals our true grasp of the gospel, what Jesus did for us. Often the test comes when others fail to fulfill their commitment to us. Or when they show up late for an appointment. Or an event that to us is very, very important. Or they don't respond when we text them or email them or delay days. They don't carry their weight at home or maybe here at church. No one volunteers for the wonderful breakout deal you have going there. And you can feel stuff building up in your heart. Or maybe they make the same mistake, the third or fourth or fifth time. And as we Cubans would say, you just go, "Ya, chico!" Say, come on, dude. Passionate. Or maybe they say one thing and do another. You said you would do this, but you're doing this. See, it's at that moment that God's mercy toward us in Christ changes us. And we're able to extend it to others. Yes, they don't deserve it, but neither did we. And we're able to minister to them. And I would say this. If our lives release the aroma of mercy, that aroma will transport them and us back to the cross. And perhaps for some, and perhaps for some in this room, for the very first time. Do our lives have the scent of mercy? Do others smell it? What do you smell like when you walk in the room? Mercy is the scent of love. As I was reading up on perfumes and scents, they're made up of various ingredients, oils, spices, and they're brought together to create this beautiful smell. So if mercy is the scent of love, I would say, I think this text says, that kindness is the key ingredient, is the key fragrance that gives mercy its scent. And that's point three. The fragrance of mercy is kindness. If mercy is the scent of love, the fragrance of mercy is kindness. Look at verse 35. Look at verse 35. It says this. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Here we go. Because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. It is not easy to be kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. It's just not. Whether they're your children, when they're not very grateful, and they act wickedly, or it's your spouse, or it's your boss, or it's the guy that cuts you off on the road. It doesn't matter. It's difficult. It's difficult. But this text says that this is what we're to do because this is who we are, because this is what our Father did to us. We were the ungrateful and the wicked. Therefore, as His sons and daughters, that's how we should live. That's what it says here. If you were to look at the pictures in our staircase coming down of our family, you would see the picture of my father when he was a young man growing up in Cuba. Look at a picture of me when I was a young man in high school. And now if you looked at my 20-year-old son, Joseph, you would see a striking resemblance, our facial structure. Why? Because we're related. He's my son. And so we should look like our father. And so the rest of this passage from 27 on down to 35 or 34, basically it's teasing out what does kindness look like? What does it look like to be kind to the ungrateful and the wicked? Well, look at verse 27. This is what it looks like. It looks like stepping toward them. Not waiting for them to step toward you, but moving toward them with active love. Look at it. But I tell you, who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. These are very active things. Kindness toward the wicked, the ungrateful and the wicked, looks like moving toward them before they move toward you. Aren't you glad that God moved toward you before you moved toward Him? It looks like doing good to those who hate us. What? It looks like blessing those who curse us. Really? It looks like praying for those who abuse us. Think about this together this week. Who fits the profile of a current enemy in your life? How can you move toward them? It would be for you to apply. And if you look at verses 29 and 30, not only does kindness move toward those who, before they move toward us, but look at 29 and 30, kindness refuses to take vengeance against those who sin against us. Verse 29, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Now, to strike on the cheek is a physical backhand. It's someone sinning against you. I believe what this text is saying is don't do either of the two extremes. Don't retaliate and take vengeance on them. Romans 12 is clear. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not yours. It's God's. But at the same time, don't run away and just sweep it underneath the rug and let the abuse keep going. Okay? They're opposite reactions and they're both wrong. But stand your ground in loving care. Kindness stands its ground, lovingly offering that person the other cheek in friendship. It doesn't mean let them keep abusing you. That's not what it means here. Now, if you grew up in a Hispanic culture, you'd understand the whole deal about the cheek. If you're a friend, you offer a friend your cheek in friendship. I did it this morning, and I think I freaked someone out. In Miami, the way we greet each other is we lean in. We don't do any big hugs, okay? That freaks me out. But we just say, whoa, way too much of your body is touching my body. So we just sort of reach in. Don't put your lips on their cheek, but cheek to cheek and just go, say, good morning. I went to do that to somebody. And they were like, whoa, what's going on? But in the Middle East, that's what they did. In fact, they actually kissed each other's cheeks, and I think twice. So offer the other cheek isn't saying, come hit me again. That's foolish. No, no, no. It means I'm not going to pull back my friendship. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not going to let you keep abusing me, but I'm not going to take vengeance on you, and I'm not going to run from you. And I'm not going to sweep it underneath the rug. This is kindness. You know, the world does the other two. The world says eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I'm taking vengeance on you, Jack. See, the problem with eye for an eye, it just doesn't work because in the end, everyone ends up blind. You get into two eye for the eyes and that's it. You're blind. Bitterness has just blinded you. You live as an angry person. That is not what a citizen of the kingdom of God lives like. The scent of one's life is the scent of mercy. It's the fragrance of kindness. Look at verses 32 to 35. This fragrance of kindness, man, it just, wow, it is quite the fragrance. Now remember, what we're looking at here, if mercy is the scent of love and kindness is the fragrance of mercy, what we're looking at in 27 to 35 are the ingredients, the spices, the different oils that go into making this, okay? Look at this, look at 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But you love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Boy, isn't that the one that gets us all? If I pour my life into you, I give you everything I have, and you leave, and then you tell folks, Pino didn't really care for me? Yeah. If you walk by me at that moment, you go, whew. Something wrong here. Sadly, through my mouth, I release a very bad odor. Because I didn't get. I gave and I didn't get. God's changing us. But see, He gives. He gives freely, unconditionally. As I said before, aren't you glad that God moved toward us before we moved toward Him? And as we move toward others, as we give toward others, as we give not expecting anything in return. Why? Because we've already gotten from the Lord. That's what verse 35 says. Listen, your reward is great. I have my reward. I'm secure in Christ. Darren said it so well in the worship time. He's accepted me. So whether you accept me or not, I mean, it would be better if you did. I'd prefer you not to say bad things about me to everybody else. But even if you do, I don't fall apart and retaliate against you because I have His acceptance. Here's my reward. That's the gospel. And so I'm able to release a fragrance in being kind toward those who are ungrateful and wicked when I don't get what I would hope to get. Do you remember earlier I said that this fragrance that we release can transport us to the cross? Because the cross is at the epicenter where this truth is found. The cross of Christ. Where He received what He did not deserve. The wrath of God is what we deserved. And we get what we don't deserve, God's mercy. So if we release that fragrance, it'll transport folks to that place. And there's a scripture, you know, just jot this down. 2 Corinthians 2. 14 to 16, 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 16, that I think captures this. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 16, and it says this. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ. Among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one we are the smell of death and to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such tasks? You give mercy and let God do the eternal judging as to whether it is life to them or death. God does the judging. We're not God, so let's stop with the vengeance. Now, for most of us, the context isn't some large sin like abuse. But the context for our kindness oftentimes is not sin at all. It's the context of everyday weaknesses of others. There is where our context of kindness really gets traction. It's driving in traffic. It's at the grocery store. It's when people aren't considerate of us. So here is where we get to release this fragrance of kindness. We give and don't demand back. We love and don't demand to be loved back. We do good and lend, not expecting anything in return. What does that look like? What are some of those ingredients, Al? Well, if you just go to 1 Corinthians 13, which you don't need to go to right there. Most of us have this memorized. 1 Corinthians 13, 4a. Love is, say it, love is, and, oh. There's two things that I am weak in. Patient and kind. See, the weaknesses of others in our lives are ordained by God to help us learn patience and kindness. Mothers know this so well of small children. Dave Harvey says it this way. Mercy says, my love will not be conditional on your change in an area of weakness. My love, this is what mercy says. Mercy says, my love will not be conditional on your change in an area of weakness. Even when that area of weakness impacts me. Because that weakness is designed to build godliness in us. That accumulates treasure in heaven for all eternity. That's the reward of verse 35. See, I don't show you kindness and mercy as a way to manipulate you to do what I want you to do. That's the world. There's always an agenda. You put your hand on your wallet when someone greets you with a big smile and shakes your hand in Miami, okay? Okay, what's going on? Who's back here? You're serving me? You're giving me this deal of a lifetime? Huh, okay. What's behind it? What's in it for you? That's the world. No. Our hearts are stirred by sympathy toward others rather than self-righteous impatience. Oh, Lord. That's the one where I'm just saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Self-righteous impatience, but no, mercy, 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 a heart of mercy, a heart of sympathy. Are we sympathetic toward one another? Recently, my wife and I have gone through a conflict around an issue that occurred in Miami and just a larger issue. I wasn't empathetic to what my wife was going through. You know, and it's interesting, on the drive up here, the Lord really gave us a breakthrough. So thank you. I'm just going to give you credit for that, okay? Had I not driven up here, we wouldn't have had that breakthrough. Actually, the breakthrough came around Sarasota. You know how when you're talking with your spouse, and you get a breakthrough, you kind of remember where you are, you know? I mean, it had been pretty quiet from Miami to Sarasota. If you know your geography, that's about 3 hours. And We're more cold warriors, you know. Our warfare is more cold war. And then God just gave us a breakthrough. And a good friend was talking to us on the phone. We were both on that line. And a category was introduced to me that I just hadn't seen. And I was just able to turn to her and said, she was just like, I just want you to say, I understand. Have some sympathy. If you can't tell already, I'm a pretty hard-charging, get up off the floor, stop crying. I don't care if you're bleeding, you know, just come on. Don't be a wimp. Let's go. It doesn't work all the time. It's news to you, right, Jerry? Okay. So my wife just wanted some sympathy, some empathy. And this person we talked to introduced a category, and I thought, of course. And I was just saying, please forgive me, Des. There was a great breakthrough. See, this is mercy. Mercy says, my love will not be conditional on your change in an area of weakness. It stirs up sympathy. Quoting again from Dave Harvey, mercy is a train that tows sympathy behind it. I love that one. Mercy is a train that tows sympathy behind it. Are you sympathetic toward others? It's interesting. Look at verse 31. Many of you know this. Many people in the world, this is the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Some in Miami, it's do to others before others do to you. But now this one says, do to others as you would have them do to you. See, we want mercy and kindness for our weakness. We want people to give us credit for intention. But often we are just, I want results. I don't care if you intended to be here on time. You weren't, again. Doesn't mean we can't lovingly say, come on, let's work to change it. But we're not being angry. I don't know if this is going to help anybody, but here's another possible illustration there, this sympathy thing. If you were abused as a child or an adult, talking sexual abuse, talking bad stuff, maybe a crime was committed against you, you were hurt, things were stolen, that's wrong. I'm so sorry you were sinned against. And kindness is that you don't just sweep that underneath the rug. No, you report it, you confront the abuser, and you say, this is wrong. I'm not fleeing from you, I'm not sweeping it underneath the rug. But nor does it say, kill him! You know, as they're being judged by the courts, which is God's grace in their life, because God gives the authorities to judge them that their hearts might repent, you're not clapping and saying, death penalty for him. You know, like screaming at him as he's walking out of the court because he got justice. Now, justice is important. Here's kindness. You confront and expose. You bring him to the authorities. And as he's being judged, your heart is toward that person. God, have mercy on them as you did on me. And you're glad that justice is being vindicated. You're glad that that person is no longer abusing anybody else. But you're saying, God, have mercy. You're not happy in vengeful hatred, anger. Hadn't planned on saying that. Don't know if that applies to anybody. But back to this. Most of us, it's just the little things. I want mercy for the fact that I keep forgetting to put the toilet seat down. But I meant to. But I'm not willing to give that to others on whatever issue. You know, put the keys back where they belong so I don't have to search for them all day. Yeah, you know, the little things in life. This is what we're talking about, right? For most of us. How do you respond to the limitations or the weaknesses of others? With patience and understanding and sympathetic help? Or are they more aware of your daily disapproval? What is the scent of your lives? What scent am I giving off when I'm not treated the way I want to be treated? Oh. Well, here's an illustration. When I say, oh, about, you know, impatience. So I go to get my license renewed. And today, when you get your license renewed, you have to go in person. You have to bring every document that was ever issued to you since you were born. The originals. Because of 9/11. And so I had everything, but I couldn't find my Social Security card. So I go there. In Miami, the DMV is the closest thing you can come to Cuba. And it's unbelievable. And you get the impatience. And so hours into it, witnessing several altercations, police come, pull people away. I get up, I give my stuff to this lady, and she goes, well, Mr. Pino, you don't have your original Social Security card. I said, you've done a retinal scan, all my fingerprints, my passport, it's all there. I'm sorry. And I just went off on her. Not, again, I'm a cold warrior. Sarcasm and biting comments are what I traffic in when I sin. And that woman was so kind to me. So kind to me. She bore with my arrogant impatience. She went back and talked to her supervisor, and they ended up giving it to me. And as she was thanking me, she says, by the way, what do you do for a living? I said, what? I'm a pastor. She just looked in my eyes, and you know what? I'm convinced she's a Christian. There was a little twinkle in her eyes. It was almost like, okay, I'm the only one that saw that, but I know God's talking to you. Have a nice day. I just walked out, man. I was like, ugh. So if you would have walked by me when I was talking to her, you would have like, phew. Bad. There's no mercy here. See, the purpose of mercy is not to produce results. Give me my renewal now. The purpose of mercy is to glorify God. It's to reflect God's image. Mercy portrays the gospel to others. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Friends, we can show mercy to others. I can show mercy to others because God has shown me mercy. That's what verse 36 tells us. We are those ungrateful and wicked, whom God showed mercy when we were not moving toward Him. He moved toward us so that we might display it to others face to face. The mercy of God in Christ. The very gospel is what gives us the power to forgive and to show mercy toward others. To be the kind person in the face of others' weaknesses or their wickedness or their ungratefulness. The scent of love is mercy. The fragrance of mercy is kindness. Here's the appeal. It's a pleasing aroma, primarily to God, but also to others. But the stench of self-righteousness, of impatience, or of hatred and bitterness is the opposite of this love. Bitter unkindness and impatience, self-righteous unkindness and impatience with others is a stench in God's nostrils and repels others. If you were to walk into the front porch of my home, you would be greeted with the smell of a lavender air freshener that we put right by the front door to give a nice smell. It's pleasant to me. I like smells. But every once in a while, my next door neighbor's seven cats. And I love my next door neighbor. She's a wonderful woman. She's a widow. I knew her husband. He actually passed away like almost in my arms. Healthy guy, died of a heart disease. I remember I came home from work and he was sitting in my driveway holding his chest, say, Al, call 911. And I loved him, Alfonso. Anyways, I love my neighbor, but they do have lots of cats. And every once in a while, a rogue cat will get into our flower bed right by our front door and leave something there, a little gift for us. And if you've ever smelled the stench of cat feces, so sometimes when I walk up to the front door, it's like, whoa, that's not lavender. And what do? I hunt out that smell. I find it. Oh, there it is. I get the little shovel. Dig it out, put it in a plastic bag, spray it with all kinds of stuff that I spray that kills the odor and make sure the cat doesn't go back there, and throw it away. So when we find that in our lives, friends, by God's grace, we've got to look for it, got to dig it up. If you open the refrigerator and there's something stinky in there, don't just close it back, because you may not smell it, and after a while you get used to it, but everybody else is smelling it when you walk by. God wants us to identify the righteous pride and judgmentalism that lead to unkind and impatient words. Does your life pass the fragrance test, the smell test? Allow the clean waters of God's word to pour over you, the blood of Christ that we sang about to cleanse you. Allow God to identify and help you remove these things, these foul odors in your life. God has been merciful, very patient towards you. It's time that you are merciful and patient and kind toward one another. And if you do not know Christ's kindness, I pray that you would respond to His Spirit if He's speaking to you. Because at the cross, Christ's mercy toward us was revealed. His sacrifice for our sins makes that mercy ours and gives us the power to be merciful toward one another. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I thank you that you have been merciful toward me. And I pray that I would be able to be merciful toward others. And may this church be known for its mercy amongst its members in this community. And Lord, if there are any here this morning that do not know your mercy, would you, in your kindness and mercy, reveal it to them. Let them nudge the person next to them, the person they came with, and say, hey, can we talk some more about this mercy at lunch, or come to one of the leaders of the church. Lord, thank you for your mercy. We want to Just shout that from the mountaintops in Jesus' name. Amen.